This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Hey, listeners, my name is Vanessa, the host of the Unseminary Podcast, where we talk about the stuff you wish they taught in seminary. I'm joined by the founder of Unseminary, Rich Birch. Hey, Rich, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Super glad to be here today. How about you? How's your week been?
I'm good, except I have a bone to pick with you, Rich Birch.
Oh no, what's going on?
I'm pretty sure last weekend you cut me off in the church parking lot. You have something.
You were coming out of the first, I was going into the second.
Yeah. What was that about? You didn't even wave.
I was rushing. It was like right as church was starting.
Actually, it was. It was
and
like 10:59.
I am so sorry. It's so funny because I did think as I drove past there, I thought, oh, well, there's this one weird spot at our parking lot that's a little bit weird to tell, you know, where you're going. So I'm going to blame it on the engineering. Not on me.
You're too funny.
Sorry about that. Hopefully you can forgive me.
You're totally forgiven.
Nice. Thank you.
So things are good in your world. We have a review to talk about today.
Yeah, we do. So we've been, you know, the last couple of weeks we've been doing this, asking people to write new reviews between now and Thanksgiving. And to show that I'm thankful, we're going to give one lucky church a pizza party for the sometime during the first week of December for your church, for your team, because we know that time of year is a crazy time of year at most churches and they would love a free pizza. So today we've got a review from Peter Goweski, which is a friend of the show, great guy. And this is what he said. He said, Rich Birch and the entire team at Unseminary have impacted our church in huge ways. Well, but here's the thing. It's oftentimes very small things or changes and tweaks that we've learned through Unseminary. If you're a church leader, you need to listen. You need to get another church leader to listen as well. And you give it 5 stars, which is super nice. Thanks, Peter.
Oh, that's so nice. Thanks, Peter. Yeah. And I think this article that we have today is one of those, you know, things that is just a small tweak and you're going to see huge impact on it.
Yeah. So today is 7 best practices of first-time guest gifts at your church. So we're talking about, you know, when guests come for the first time, a lot of churches do, and we see it as a best practice, offer gifts to those guests. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, who doesn't love a gift?
Exactly, for sure.
Especially coming to church.
Yeah, people love it. And so, you know, we've been talking about a number of kind of things about guests moving. This past summer, I wrote an article called 8 Phases of Moving. I think it was 8 Phases of Moving First or Anonymous Guests, First-Time Guests Towards Full Community. And what I'm trying to do through these is really drill down on what are those steps that people go through as they walk through this this experience. And so one of those steps is actually when guests raise their hand, or when they, you know, go out in the lobby, or they metaphorically raise their hand and say, hey, I'm new here, and they get a gift. And so that's really what we're talking about here today is those, you know, those some 7 kind of best practices we see in churches.
Yeah, this is something that we've talked about a number of times in our posts, but something that we can really drill down on and become even more practical than in some of the other podcasts we've done and articles.
Yeah, I do think it's a critical time. You know, I think this is one of those areas that we can whiff on and actually do not a great job, and it can impact our church greatly. In fact, actually, a church I was involved in, Liquid Church, years ago, this is probably 5-6 years ago, we were benchmarking us against other churches, and we realized that we were significantly underperforming in the number of first-time guests. So at that point, a church was about 2,000 people, and we were seeing about 800 a year come, which if you've listened for a while, you know that the kind of benchmark that we should be shooting for as a church is, you know, your kind of total number of guests you see an entire year should average what you see on an average weekend in your church. So in our case, we should have been seeing about 2,000 a year, but we were only seeing 800. And actually, one of the things we did, or a number of things we did, which we're going to talk about here today, is actually ended up increasing our new here guest kind of contact information from them from 800 to 3,500 that following year. And so I want to share some of those things, talk through that. And again, I run into a lot of churches that are underperforming in this area for sure.
I think too, like, you know, I've worked at a new here kiosk, and when it's thrown together last minute, I mean, it feels really clunky. And I think, like, as we're moving towards the Christmas season, I think this is something, it's something easy that you can tackle and get right for that big Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I was just recently talking to a church leader where this is unreal. They saw almost 20% of all of their guests for the entire year came on Christmas Eve. So they saw, it's a fairly large church, and they saw 5,000 documented guests over an entire year. And they documented just under 1,000 in one night. Or on one, not just at one service, but over a number of services on Christmas Eve. And so that reminded me, yes, this is a huge time of year for us to make sure we get these things right. And so wanted to talk about this here and make sure that we're pushing in the right direction.
Awesome. Okay, let's drill into this. Call them new here gifts, not first time gifts. Something really easy to do.
Yeah, we're really easy change. And, you know, again, you wouldn't, why would you make that change? You know, for, you don't want to call them first time guest gifts because people are unlikely on the very first Sunday that they're there to pick them up. Now, a lot of times we say first time guest gifts, but we actually don't mean first time. We just mean, well, if you're new around here. And so why not just call them that? Call them new here. We want to communicate that they're, if people consider themselves new, that that's the day for pick them up. Now, typically you might, you know, it probably isn't on the first Sunday there. There might be the second, the third, the fourth, something like that, where they'll jump in. It might take 6 months, but they still consider themselves new here. And it really, what's important is that in those eight phases of kind of moving from an anonymous guest towards full community, it's really at the phase where they step to say, they really, what they're doing here is they're going from being invisible to being visible. When people know when they drop by this kiosk or wherever they're going to pick them up, they're making an important emotional step, which is we want to be just anonymous sitting in the crowd. I wouldn't mind if someone knew that I was here. And so what we don't want to do is put a mental block in people's heads where they'd say like, oh, I don't know if I can go there because it's not actually my first time. I've been here 8 times. And is it okay if I go there?
I felt like when my husband and I first started attending our church that we hit sort of that, like, we were okay to be known at 6 months, but then we're like, well, we're not first time guests. And so it's such a small language change that really does have a huge impact. And I think this morning in a service that I had attended, I really noticed that it was just small little change. And it's like, hey, if you've been attending here for a couple of months now, we have a new here gift for you. And I'm like, oh, that's so great.
Yeah, we just want to tweak it a little bit. It's a small change to new here guest gifts for sure.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about choosing a gift that people want.
All right. So you remember when you were a kid and that crazy aunt gave you socks at Christmas time, you know, and you know, we don't want to be that kind of person. We want to give something that, you know, people actually want to give, to get. And so, you know, this is a hard kind of line for us to think through. If let's say insurance agents, because we'll definitely not say real estate agents, because we love everybody in real estate. Sometimes insurance agents can do this. They hand out gifts all the time that have like, you know, maybe at this time of year, actually they'll hand you a calendar that has like their contact information, their branding all over it. And that doesn't feel like a gift at all. In fact, what it feels like is just an advertising piece. And I think we have to think about this carefully when we're thinking about gifts, because I think a lot of times the gifts we give can feel like just an advertising piece for us. And so we want to start with, you know, what do people actually want to get? Now, I have found that t-shirts, there's something about t-shirts. There's like a disproportionate of value in t-shirts. They mean way more in people's heads than they actually cost. People's perception of how much they value them is a lot higher than what they actually cost to do. And now the problem with t-shirt is you got to make sure you think through, what's on that t-shirt. I would always joke that, like, you know, this t-shirt, probably its biggest goal is going to be the t-shirt that people wear around their house when they're painting. You know, it's probably that kind of thing. And that's okay. Like, that's fine. Again, the goal of the gift is really just to get people. You want to make it a good enough gift that people are willing to go from being invisible to being visible, that they go from being not known to being known. They're willing to kind of put their hand up. And so actually in this article, we link to one of the most read articles on Seminary, like literally, you know, tens of thousands of people have read this article on first-time guest gifts, which is amazing. And it shows, I think there's 34 different first-time guest gifts, t-shirts, coffee mugs, different journals and stuff from different churches to give you an idea. So you want to find something that people ultimately want. At our church right now, we're doing coffee mugs, which
my
are
favorite.
Fine. Yeah, I'm fine with coffee mugs. They're good. Not everybody drinks coffee, which I know is hard to believe, but, you know, I think... a tea. A tea could be good. Coffee mugs are fine. They're a good mug. You know, some people do the travel mug kind of thing. There's lots of different ways to do that for sure.
What's your favorite gift then?
T-shirts by far. Like really? Without my default would be t-shirt.
No.
Because again, there's that weird disproportionate value. It's the same thing. Like when you go, you know, like this happens all the time. You go to, you know, some sort of baseball game and they're saying, hey, fill out this, you know, credit card thing and we're going to give you a t-shirt. Well, why do they give out t-shirts? Because they know that there's some sort of disproportionate value thing in there. They're not saying, come here and we'll give you a coffee mug. You know, there's t-shirts are they're kind of a go-to, I think, a go-to giveaway. But what about from your perspective, what would you say is a great giveaway?
Yeah, I would totally push back against the t-shirts. I would be more likely to wear a t-shirt if I got it at a sports event and if it had a logo for that sports event that I was at.
But those will be like a bank thing on those. Like,
yeah,
say,
but I mean, it might be on like the back of the shirt or something.
MBNA or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not going to be like huge. Right? The recent shirts that we had at our church, I liked, like the design on it was really great. Sometimes I think you can miss the mark on that. And that's maybe why I would push back against it. And I personally love coffee. And out of the coffee mugs, I've also drank tea. So
nice.
Just a big yeah. cup of tea.
Yeah, and I think you just got to keep working on it. I know Greg Curtis, who I adore on all of this assimilation stuff. He's from a church in California called Eastside. One of the things he talks about is testing different things. Like, hey, well, we should try different ones and see, mm-hmm. You know, what works for sure. But so the big idea there is, you know, we need to ultimately pick a gift that people want, not just something that's cheap or is, you know, easy for us to make.
Not a pen. Sorry if you're doing pens.
Exactly.
Unless they're really, really good pens.
We used to do just a chocolate bar and pens was what we used to do. And it was terrible.
I mean, I could get behind the chocolate bar, but.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not, it's low value. It's like, it doesn't feel
great.
That's
true.
But it's like,
true.
Chocolate bar doesn't feel like, am I going to give up my email address for a chocolate bar? Unlikely.
I don't know. I probably would.
It depends on how bad the day's been.
True. It's true. Nice. All right. Let's talk about streamlining the new Here card.
Yeah. So the data people who are listening in, they want to have like a lot of information on that card. But actually what's best for our guest is to have as little information on there as possible. Really, basically, if you aren't going to take action on the information, you should not put it on that card. So don't ask for people's birth date. I know the data people want people's birth dates so they can get a unique record. But hey, you don't need that. You're going to need to work that through with them. Work to get the card as less as possible. You know, also tweak the language. You know, number church do this. Instead of just saying email, you could say something like your best email, or instead of saying phone number. People don't have cell phones anymore. People don't have just phones anymore. They have cell phones. Or so you could again say best phone number, or like your cell phone number, that kind of thing, to get even more clear on exactly what it is that you're going to ask for. The phone one's an interesting one. We often ask for phone, but we don't actually do anything with the phone number. We're not typically phoning or texting. Now, a lot of churches are getting into doing texting as a part of their follow-up process. If you're doing that, great. That should be on the card. You know, what about people's address? Again, if you're not sending a piece of mail to their home, then why are you asking for that? I would say streamline the new Here card, make it as simple as possible. You know, and the other thing, you know, a little kind of a side tip here is, you know, make the new Here card and the new Here kiosk look exactly the same. So whatever the logo is on that card, make sure that it matches directly the kiosk, the area that you're ultimately, sending people to. And so the card needs to basically, when people look at it, they're like, oh, I know where to go. The way we did that at Liquid was it was the only thing that was black and white in anywhere in our environments. And so it was super easy to find, highly visible, which we're going to talk to you in a little bit, but it matched on the card. So if I looked at the card, I was like, oh, that must be where I go.
No, that's really smart. All right. Let's talk about staffing the new Here area with your best volunteers.
Okay. So one of the most significant changes we made when we saw that huge spike, remember before we talked about it, from 800 to 3,500, was we started staffing this area with the best of our best. And I know we say that everybody is, all our volunteers are amazing, and that's true. But we know that there are some volunteers that are just frankly more engaging than others. And so what we want to do is put our most engaging people in there. We deliberately used this area as a way to kind of put our volunteers that have been with us serving for a while, and we overstaffed this area. The idea there is so that people could you know, could end up slowing down and talking to everyone. And so again, a tip from Greg, he was saying, you know, one of the worst things that lines are ultimately the enemy of assimilation. And so if someone, if you get a line of people, I thought this was amazing. If you get a line of people at your new here area, don't allow that line to stand. Turn that line into a circle. Say, hey, everybody, we're just going to get in a circle here now. And then pass out cards to every one of those people and turn that into a discussion. Again, that to be able to do that means a kind of a highly flexible, highly trained volunteer rather than people who are just like, I'm going to follow the check here, the kind of check-in process, whatever they told me in training. They've got to be the kind of people that are willing to, you know, go out of their way to try to make people feel welcome.
Oh, that's such a great tip. Like, let's talk about putting the new here guest kiosk in a highly visible area.
Yeah. And so this is actually one of those areas where I feel like at the campus you and I attend on, we could do a better job on. And it's hard to know. Our lobby is kind of a hard lobby, but the new here guest kiosk needs to be in the most highly visible area. It needs to be, you know, ideally it's seen as people are coming and going. If I were going to pick one or the two, I would say it needs to be more obvious as people are exiting your environment than when they're coming in. If you can't have it be, you know, be both, because people, the more typical flow is people arrive, they go through your experience. They, someone prompts them to say, hey, you can get a free gift today. This amazing coffee mug, drop by the new here kiosk on the way out. And so you want to make that super obvious. Again, the signage there needs to say something like new here or are you new here or new here kiosk. Like, don't make it, don't make people guess what that area is supposed to be.
One thing I've sort of always thought about the new here kiosk, because we are really trying to drive people to it. And if you can communicate from the stage that like these people are in this t-shirt, which is a different t-shirt than your guest services, would that not make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what you could do that. You could also, I've also seen churches do, where they'll have like a different colored carpet where the new kiosk is. So you could do it even in like a portable environment, just have like, you know, like in our case, it'd probably be like, go see, you know, go find the orange carpet in the lobby. And, you know, those people will be there to help you, or, you know, look for the sign. Are the new here kiosk that we have does have a sign hanging from the roof, which is great. It's above people's heads, which you, again, you can't, from my perspective, you can't make this too obvious. This is giving you a little bit of insider knowledge. When I go and do coaching at churches and we're talking about this stuff, I will always come up with a way to make the new here kiosk more visible. Like, I literally don't think you can make it too visible. So it's like in our environment, I'd say, hey, can we get a light to hang and, you know, put a light on that area? Could we do a carpet? Could we do different t-shirts? What can we do to make this as highly visible as possible? Cause we don't want that moment to be the moment where people stumble and are like, oh no, I can't go there.
Well, and it can be confusing too, if there's a lot of tables already in the lobby, and then it's, how do you differentiate? So I think you're right. Like, I think you just have to keep making it more and more obvious.
Yep. And that's a good thing to do even, you know, quarterly. That's the kind of thing you could just put on your calendar and say, hey, a part of our, let's say you're, you know, you're kind of new here, volunteer team, you're getting in a huddle, you know, you could every 3 or 4 months, you could actually do one of those huddles is, let's brainstorm this morning with some ways that we could make this area more visible. What could we do to make this more obvious to people? Because you literally can't make it too obvious. We want this to be, you know, this is the beginning of people. It's the first time people say, hey, I want to be connected. And we need to really go out of our way to make sure that we're doing everything we can to get them plugged in.
I love this next point that you have. Train your people to look for gift holders.
Yeah. So this point number 6 of 7. So what we want to do is, however we package these gifts, we want to make sure that these gifts are super obvious. And then we do want to go out of our way to train our people. Now, this definitely needs to be our staff. And it needs to be our volunteers. So when we did t-shirts, which, you know, you're not a huge t-shirt, we put these into a highly visible white bag. It was a big enough bag that you couldn't fit it in a normal woman's purse. It was a big, big bag. And what it did is it flagged to people, hey, I'm a visitor here. I'm new here. And then, you know, you could actually, you know, twice a year, actually as a part of your Sunday morning, go out of your way to actually tell your people, hey, when you see someone with one of these walking around, you should go out of your way to say hi to them. And so at our church, we have them in craft bags with some orange, you know, kind of paper stuff in the top of them. And so they are fairly obvious. Yeah, tissue. Thank you for that. They are fairly obvious, but we should be training our people like, hey, it's okay to say hi to people as they, you know, carry around these things. Again, you want to make them visible and then train your people. A church I worked at earlier called the Meeting House in Toronto, they actually did their New Year process. Now, it's been years since I've been there. I don't know if they do this anymore, but they actually distributed their New Year. At that point, we were giving away gifts in the service. And actually, they asked people to raise their hand, if you can believe it. Hey, can you, which I know sounds super creepy. There's a whole other conversation around how you do that. We would train our campus pastors around how to do that so it doesn't feel creepy or like a pressure tactic. But twice a year, Bruxy, our lead guy, would say the reason why we do that, it's not for our guests. It's actually for the people sitting in the rows to be able to say, hey, here's someone in my row or here's someone in the row in front of me who's new. I want to go out of my way to say hi to them. And so that's why they were distributing them in the service so that we could then see, oh, these are the kind of people I should talk to.
I love those bold steps.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. It's hard. And again, this is another conversation we could have there around how do you, if you were going to ask people to raise their hands, how do you can do that in a way that doesn't seem, you know, super creepy.
All right. Point seven, coordinate your new here guest gifts with family ministry. This is smart.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of churches are more siloed than they need to be. And, you know, what we're leveraging here, all of this New Year guest gift stuff, from my perspective, is just well-funded kids ministry, because kids ministry has been doing this for years where, you know, if you're new to the church and you're a kid, we're going to give you something. And so chances are your kids ministry is already doing that. So I would ask them, what are you doing? And, you know, let's coordinate those together. And it just means, you know, we just need a little bit of, you know, conversation to make sure that we're not overlapping. And so, you know, I've seen churches where they literally do, you know, if there's a new baby that arrives at the church, like on their first Sunday, they give them a baby, like a onesie, like a newborn onesie that has like a brand that, you know, the church on the branded on the thing or whatever. And then they might do like t-shirts for kids and then t-shirts for adult. So theoretically, if you came, everyone has, you know, kind of a new shirt, which is kind of cool. Again, I know you don't like shirts. It's fine. Maybe we give sippy cups to kids. That would be fine.
That'd be cute.
But the idea there is to make sure, it would be very cute. The idea is to make sure we're talking amongst each other and that we're coordinating, you know, the information on the back end. Because typically, you know, kids ministry, if you've got kids that are coming, that's going to be flagged by your system earlier. And so, you know, because, you know, you can't just drop a kid off and say, okay, I'm going to come back. You've got to actually do some work there. So, coordinate your new here guest gifts with your family ministry.
Fantastic. I think this is such a great article. I think a lot of our listeners can make some of these small changes and see a huge reward from it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is there anything else you want to add before we sign off?
Yeah, so I think the thing you want to do is to start really working backwards from the ideal guest experience that you'd like to have when you arrive at a church. So just think about from your perspective, and this could be the kind of thing maybe you lead with your staff or your volunteers. You could say, you know, what is a perfect guest, the perfect gift you'd love to what is the perfect gift that you'd love to get, or what information would you like to, you know, would be able to provide on the card, or, you know, what should happen, you know, when a new here guest gifts, talk to a volunteer, or, you know, what should the follow-up process be? The idea really is to work backwards from, hey, what could be the ideal experience, and then how do we create that? And this, we're, you know, this is a critical juncture in that new here guest experience. So yeah, I'd encourage people to do that. This is that kind of area you can't, it's not the kind of thing you're like, okay, we've got that done. We don't need to improve that anymore. We should keep looking at it and keep figuring, okay, what can we do better in this area?
Awesome. Well, thanks, Rich. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for listening to us. You can see the full article and our other podcasts at unseminary.com.